It's The Bottom Line on News Radio 610 KONA. From the Tri-Cities to Olympia to D.C., we break down the stories of the day and the people making the news. Time to get The Bottom Line on News Radio 610 KONA.
And welcome in, Bottom Line, News Radio 610 KONA. It is a Friday afternoon. Rob Francis, John McKay with you. Gorgeous day outside. We're going to put the phone lines on hold for a few minutes as we welcome back to the program, representing the 14th District in the State Senate, Senator Curtis King. Good afternoon, sir. Good to have you back.
Yes.
Well, it's always good to be here, and hope you doing well.
Well, we're doing as well as we can under under communist. Oh, I didn't mean to say that out loud. So, a couple things to talk about, senators. We're getting closer and closer to budget conversations and discussions and everything like that. Before we get into some of the money pieces, I want to ask your thought on this, or ask your opinion on this. There's certainly been a lot of discussion about reforming emergency powers during this session. The governor in his inauguration speech said that he was open to doing it. There was a bill that was put forward, didn't go anywhere. But then the governor earlier this week put out a statement pledging what he would do, the actions he would take, if there was a state of emergency, he needed to declare it. He gave a guideline as to what he would follow. Now, my question to you is this, sir. That's all nice and everything, but it's an email. It's a statement. It really doesn't bind. Is there a way Republicans could maybe nudge him to put that into an executive order?
Well, I mean, obviously, we could talk to him about that. For the most part, I've been very pleased with the stances and the statement that our new governor has taken. I think during his inaugural speech, the Republicans were standing up and clapping 10 or 12 times while the Democrats were sitting on their hands during the whole speech that he gave. And he's continued that dialogue, I think, pretty much along that same vein. So I would trust what he says, but yeah, I mean, maybe he could do it in the method that you mentioned, but I'm no parliamentarian that I know how long that would last or what strength it would have. I think we thought we had a pretty good bill, and I thought we had support for it. I don't know much about it because I've been concentrating on other things, but it's sure worth the conversation. And I would tell you, I think he would be willing to have that conversation.
Yeah, it's interesting because unfortunately the bill's not going to go anywhere. Senator Valdez from Seattle ran a striking amendment on the bill, and it kind of made it dead in the water, as there were even Democrats that weren't in favor of it after he ran that striker. But one other thing I want to touch on, because there's been a lot made about the attempt to gut, for lack of a better term, the parents' rights initiative that passed the legislature overwhelmingly, by the way. I don't think there was a vote against it in the House or in the Senate. Now all of a sudden members of the majority party want to gut this. There was an interesting comment by Senator Peterson, and I want to bring it up because he talked about initiatives not having the ability or using initiatives to modify the law, and saying it in a manner that, well, this is something unsavory. The initiative process is law. And when initiatives are passed, whether it be by the legislature or be by the voters, an initiative carries the same weight. And so I'm a little confused as conflating the use of the initiative process and that it's something less than law. Am I missing something here, Senator?
Well, I think what what is left out of what you said is that he just doesn't like initiatives, because usually the initiatives are against things that his party has passed or what his party has tried to do. And if you go back to that parenting rights initiative that was passed in the Senate and the House, and I think you're right, it passed unanimously, I would tell you it was an election year. You know, now it's not an election year. And, you know, the members of the Senate aren't going to have to run for another 4 years. The House has to run in two. But, you know, it's not an election year. And now they feel more inclined to do what they really wanted to do in the first place. And it's gut the bill or gut the initiative.
We're talking with Senator Curtis King from Yakima here on The Bottom Line.
And Senator, you know, a lot of people have said the encouraging from day one. Governor Ferguson has appeared to be encouraging dialogue. You know, the majority party was kind of upset with him, so they did that staffer lockout by invite only thing at the beginning of the... but kind of you and some of the other more veteran GOP leaders, are you adopting truly a wait-and-see attitude when it comes time for him to either veto or sign bills? Or do you kind of have a feeling that maybe Ferguson's looking at the legislature and saying, I'm going to give you a few things, but don't forget, I'm a new governor and I'm in charge. What's your take on that?
Well, I think we have to give him a chance. I'm willing to give him a chance. I think we, as we get some of these bills to his desk for him to sign, I think we will see whether he puts his pen where his mouth is. I believe in most cases, I think he's going to do what he said he's going to do. I think he's been sincere about that. Now, you know, when the pressures of the political pressures of the world come down upon his shoulders on some of these bills, you know, we'll see how he reacts. But so far, I would say he's been pretty steadfast in what he said he wants to do and what he's going to do. And until that changes, I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt, because I would tell you I was very pleased with that speech that he gave after he was sworn in.
Mm-hmm. And perhaps a little more on the lighthearted side, do you and the rest of the Republicans, do you ever catch yourself kind of like, oh, wait a minute, it's not Inslee anymore? I mean, you know, you hear something from the governor or something happens and you just reflexively think, oh, we're going to have to deal. And then we realize we have a new governor. Has that kind of been kicking in for you folks?
I would say that probably happens to me daily. I mean, I look at things in labor and commerce, and I look at things in transportation, and you know, it's like it's a different ballgame. I mean, we're learning what the new governor is looking at, what his priorities are, all of those things, and. It's a new day, and it's I am so pleased that at this point I'm very pleased that Governor Ferguson is there, and the gentleman he replaced is no longer there. That to me is one of the best things that have happened in, I would say, maybe 12 years.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Senator, we're all happy about that. And I don't know if you heard, but the former governor apparently has already determined his new career path. He's going to be a real estate agent in Idaho because he's done so well for them over the last few years. They offered him a job.
Well, I did hear that he was building a home there. Now, maybe he says he isn't, but I actually have good information that he is. And what I like to say is, well, yeah, he's building his home in Idaho because he can't afford to live in the state of Washington anymore like the rest of us.
That's right. A couple other things for you, Senator. And we're talking with Senator Curtis King from the 14th in Yakima. you certainly, many legislators, the majority of legislators, have a lot of businesses in their districts and hear from them often. And I can only imagine the number of businesses you heard from with regard to the unemployment for striking workers bill that passed on the floor of the Senate. We played some of the comments from your floor speech regarding that. Tell me how damaging this is going to be, especially for the larger employers that deal with unions on a regular basis, like Boeing, who just dealt with a machinist strike. You know, other large employers that have to deal with unions. How damaging is this going to be for the prospects of them staying in Washington State?
Well, I think that's what you're going to see. I would tell you, I'm not sure the size of the businesses, but we had five emails that came into our office that I know of. There may have been more, but five is what my legislative assistant told me. And they said, if this bill passes and is signed by the governor, we're leaving the state. Because it does, there's a balance there now. That balance works fairly well. And this just, you know, it's like somebody put a ton on the scale, and it's all in the side of the union. I mean, tell me that if you know that after a week you're going to start receiving unemployment benefits, that's going to stop you from going on strike, that which is what they're saying. Oh, this will eliminate more. We won't have as many strikes. Well, one, if you don't have as many strikes, it's because, you know, the business knows there's no frickin' way they're going to win. Or two, it's going to go on for a long time. And what happens when that business goes out of business because they went after them? The unions went after them, or the workers, you know, went on strike and they get unemployment. And guess who pays that unemployment?
Yep.
The very business that they worked for. So here you are, you're saying, business, you have to pay for your employees' unemployment because it's supposed to be there in case, you know, something really happens all of a sudden and you have to lay people off, or you have to, you know, you can't operate for a month or whatever it is. They are going to get, you know, some benefit. But because your employees decided to go on strike, you still get to keep paying, and they're going to get and you're going to pay them for going on strike.
Yep.
I mean, if that doesn't sound ridiculous, I don't know what does.
It's a weapon. One more question for you, Senator. I know you're the ranking member on transportation, and last week I had a chance to ask the assistant ranking member, Senator Gaynor, this question. There are some issues arising, especially here in Eastern Washington in some municipalities, regarding funding for roads and the need to increase road maintenance, deal with some road issues. And in Kennewick, for example, and I may term it wrong, but I believe they created a transit funding district where they're going to add 0.1% of the sales tax just to take care of roads. Is there anything in state law that would prevent municipalities from going to their local transit authority, who many of them have tens of millions of dollars in reserves? Is there anything in state law that prevents them from going to transit authorities and asking them, who use the roads more than any other entity, to contribute to road maintenance or to come up with some deal to where transit is helping maintain the roads that they use?
As far as I know, there is nothing that precludes them doing that. This has been one of my mantras for a long time, is that transit uses our roads. They pay, if it's a gas powered bus, as an example, they pay the gas tax. But if it's diesel, they don't pay any tax. They don't have to pay for cart or bus tabs or weight fees. They really don't pay anything. And at some point that is not sustainable. I would tell you, from 2018, for statewide, every rider cost the transit agencies $17 and like 40 cents every rider for every trip, and the trip is counted as if you get on a bus and you go 5 miles and you get off and then you get on another bus that takes you to where you really want to go. That's two trips. And what I pointed out to the Transit Association is, so you have a guy or a gal that's going to work, and they do that. They take one bus, they transfer, they take another bus, and guess what? They're going to work. They're going to do the same thing when they come back. Well, in 2023, the cost of that same ride is $34. That's what every ride costs us in the state of Washington. So under that scenario, you have four trips to go to work and come back. That's $132. You could probably hire an Uber to take you and bring you home cheaper than that. And this is the point, is like these people, these transit agencies, you know, they get $6.6 billion a year statewide. A lot of that is Sound Transit, but they still get $6.6 billion. And as of 2023, they were sitting on almost $9 billion in either reserves or cash on hand or something of that nature. I mean, it's the amount of money that we pay for transit is it's just amazing. And it's time that they started to pay their fair share of the use of the highways. And so I'm hoping they would do that. But I can almost tell you what the answer would be from your transit agencies.
Yeah, but we also have transit boards that oversee those agencies. So mm-hmm. I think it's going to be real interesting to see. But you wouldn't be upset if, say, a local community decided they wanted to try that out.
Well, why would I be upset? We're going to do something that helps our roads. My first question is, where do you think those board members come from, and how many of them are anti-transit or even want to question what it costs for a transit agency to operate? I mean, this is the challenge. I'm not saying we don't need transit, but at some point, you know, you can't just keep letting them run with no expense to them that they have to collect the money from the people that ride on them. Fair is fair and equitable is equitable. It's just not sustainable.
You know what's funny, Senator, how the majority party throws those words around except when it comes to the things that they love?
Yeah, that's the truth.
Yeah, we don't hear them talking about transit paying their fair share, just, you know, rich people.
That's right. Yeah, and rich people. And that's why they wanted to raise your property taxes 0.3%. It's only for the rich. Yeah, we know better.
Senator Curtis King, 14th District from Yakima. Always appreciate your time, sir. Great talking with you again, and we'll talk to you again very soon.
Thank you.
Thanks for the opportunity. It's always a pleasure to talk with you, gentlemen. Thank you.
Take care. You have a great weekend, Senator. Going to take a quick time out. Back with more. We've been floating this for a while, John.
Yep.
We've been floating this for a while. We needed to find the answer to that question, and there it was. There is nothing in state law that protects transit from having to pay anything back
towards roads
into their communities to help sustain roads.